That starts in your mind. Page 99 in the text. It's called The Relinquishment of Attack. Just as we've already emphasized, when you listen to the chorus like somebody's having a conversation with you, rather than listening to the chorus like you're a student that's trying to analyze ideas, it's a lot easier to get what it's saying. Like, if I'm just having a conversation with you, I'd say, you know, as we've already emphasized, every idea begins in the mind of the thinker. Therefore, what extends from your mind is still in your mind. Anything that extends from your mind is still in your mind. So any thought that comes from your mind is still in your mind. So every thought you're having is in your mind. Everybody with me on that? All right, he says, and it's from what your mind extends that your mind knows itself. So the way that you know your own mind is by the way you think. I used to think that was deep. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to know what kind of mind you have, the kind of mind you have is the kind of thoughts you think. It's funny, I used to think like I had this separate mind from the thoughts I was thinking. And the course says, no, you know your mind from what your mind is extending, and from what your mind is extending, that's how your mind knows itself. He says the word knows is correct here because the Holy Spirit still holds knowledge safe in your mind through the Holy Spirit's impartial perception. So now the Course in Miracles tells you about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is nothing but the part of your mind that's still in touch with the truth, and the part of your mind is still in touch with God, the part of your mind that hasn't bought into everything the world has taught us. It's your real self. Okay, so the Course is saying your real self then still holds knowledge safe in your mind through its impartial perception. By attacking nothing, the Holy Spirit presents no barrier to the communication of God. Therefore, by attacking nothing, being is never threatened. Your God-like mind can never be defiled. Your God-like mind can never be defiled. Your God-like mind can never be defiled. The ego never was and never will be part of your God-like mind. The ego never was and never will be part of your God-like mind. So your ego is the part of us that believes it's separate and afraid and on its own. So the Course says the ego is the part of the mind that's fear-based. And God, of course, is the part of the mind that's love-based. And it's telling us, well, there aren't the two parts to your mind. One part is love-based, one part is fear-based. One part is separation-based, one part is unity-based. Got it? And so he says the part of your mind is unity-based, the part of our mind is the Holy Spirit. He says it never attacks anything. Because if I don't attack you, there's no barrier to our communication. The Course says the easiest way to get the Course, you all, is just to apply it to your day-to-day situations and don't make it abstract. Like, for instance, for what I tell you, that's how I know what's in my mind. And for what I keep telling you, that's how I'm going to know what I'm about. Okay, and then it goes on to say, if I don't attack anything, there won't be any barrier in communication. So if you're talking to me and I don't attack you for what you're saying, you're going to keep talking to me. You're going to keep communication going. You're going to keep sharing with me what it is you really think and feel. I found out a long time ago, if I really wanted to know what people really thought and felt, then I had to not attack them no matter what they said to me. Which was opposite to the way my fear-based mind used to work, which was, I really want you to be honest with me, but I'm going to give you complete hell for doing it. And then would be absolutely shocked that somebody was not kept being honest with me. Like, my integrity is appalled. You're not, I don't want to talk to you because of the way you act when they tell you the truth. It's just like the Course. I go, duh. Like, it's like, that's so simple, but you wonder, like, why would somebody have to tell me that in the book? Well, somebody had to tell me that I would have better communication with you if I didn't attack you. Then it says, well, therefore your being is never threatened. If you don't feel like I'm going to attack you, then when you're around me, what? You don't feel threatened. And then I got to realize that there's a God-like mind in you and a God-like mind in me that's never been defiled, regardless of what we're telling ourselves. No matter what you've done, there's another part of you. It's just like, I don't care how much I dip this part, these glasses in some muddy water, my watch is not getting dirty. So I don't care how much you dip your mind into dirty water of fear, your God-like mind has never been defiled. They're not the same thing. You can't defile your God self. You know? And that, to me, when I read the Course, it's like it's so loving, I understand why I don't understand it. I don't understand it because it's more loving than I'm capable of. So when I hear it, it either sounds like something I don't understand or something I don't believe. because it's hard for me to conceive of something beyond what I can do, if I be honest with myself. So this is what's so cool, is that he's telling me how my real self operates. So Earl's real self is going to only extend what it really wants to learn. Earl's real self is never going to attack you and is never going to try to block out communication. Earl's real self would never want to threaten your being. That's the Holy Spirit. Then it goes and says, well, your ego never was and never will be part of that. That's for sure. The part of me that's attacks and mad and talks about everybody and criticizes and judges is certainly not going to be the part of the mind that doesn't attack anybody. So he says, don't even worry about it. Never will be. Okay. But when I hear stuff like that, it makes me think I'll never make it. Because I identify with the ego. So I think I'm the one that does the attacking, that does the fear, that gets depressed, that doesn't know the truth. So therefore, when I hear stuff like the ego never was and never will be a part of it, then a part of me feels like somehow I'm going to be left out. Because it seems like there's a part of me that doesn't have all these godlike qualities, that's only peaceful and never attacks and never gets upset. It seems like Earl does. So I used to become afraid, and I didn't understand why when I would read this stuff. And I realized the reason why I was becoming uncomfortable was because it described the ego, and it sounded like it was describing me, and then it was always saying the ego was the part that wasn't going to make it. So I kind of understood why subconsciously I would say I wanted the course, but subconsciously I didn't want the course of the truth at all. And I saw that in people who would come to study, and I would see it in other people when I would go to other people's workshops. I would wonder why people would come to stuff that they wouldn't do. Or I would watch people come to stuff that they seem to have to be bored and have no interest in. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Something brought them here, but something's also trying to make them not pay attention. And so you get a chance to see both sides of the mind. You know, so then it goes on to say the ego can hear and teach and learn what's not true. So a fearful mind can hear and teach and learn what is not true. Then he says, you taught yourself to believe that you're not what you are. You cannot teach what you have not learned. And what you teach, you strengthen in yourself, because what you teach, you're sharing it. And every lesson that you teach, you're learning. So let's flip back. Okay, you talk yourself to believe that you're not what you are. What you are is sinless, guiltless, and love. Okay, I'll say it again. What you are is sinless, guiltless, and love. What you are is sinless, guiltless, and love. Anybody disagree with me? Mm-hmm. You really believe, you believe down in your core, you believe you're sinless, guiltless, and love.
Hmm? I want to
Okay, all right. I didn't hear everybody else. I'm
I know it's true, but I don't believe it.
Okay.
It's the sign that where you had to wash. It's the
uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not the dirty glasses.
Yeah. Anybody else believe you're sinless, guiltless, and love?
Yeah. I didn't even have that concept until I started coming here.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Slowly getting
it. Okay. Have a seat. Come in. If you come to the course, if there's some other reason, David is upstairs. He's the minister. So, okay.
I'll get another chair.
Yes, there's some in the closet right there. Okay, so then the course says that, okay, so we've taught ourselves to believe that we're not love. There's a part of us that believes we're not sinless and guiltless and only love. Can we agree to that? If there's a part of us that doesn't believe that, right? Okay, then that's what he means when he says, you've taught yourself to believe that you're not what you are. You've made yourself believe you're something other than love. Okay, then he goes on to say, well, when you do that, you can't teach what you haven't learned. So I can't demonstrate to anybody what I haven't learned. And if I haven't learned who I am, and if I don't know who I am, would you tell me how I'm going to demonstrate it? So he says what he's saying. You don't know what you are, and so how can you teach what you haven't learned? And then it goes on to say, and what you teach, you're strengthening in yourself. So everything I demonstrate to you, I'm making stronger in me, right? Everything I demonstrate to you, I'm making it stronger in me, because I'm sharing it with you when I give it to you. So sharing is every time you give something, whether it's peace or anger. That's still you sharing. And whatever you share, you're strengthening yourself. Okay, well, that answers another question that I used to wonder about running around in the world. Was why did it look like the anger and the fear was more pervasive than the love and the peace? And then and happiness. And then Spirit said, well, that's not really a complicated question. If what you share is what you strengthen, and people feel a lot more free to express their anger than their love, why are you surprised that you're looking at a world that it looks like there's more anger than peace in? People will let you know when they're upset with you in 2 seconds. The minute you don't please them in some way, we don't hesitate to let people know when we displease. But how often do you see people walk up to people and say, hey, I love you, I appreciate you, I acknowledge you, thank you very much, I'm so glad I'm in your presence, you're really loving and joyful. Now you hear, I don't fool, came out, it didn't even stop at that stop sign. I'm so mad at my mom, I don't know what to do, I wish I had more money. It's like what people share is the fear. And then they turn around and they wonder why there's more fear and why they see more fear than love. It's like almost like people expecting love to show up when they're not investing in it themselves. That's what it looks like to me. It's like everybody's looking for something to happen to them that they're not giving. You know, I'm supposed to meet all these patient and loving people, but I'm not patient and loving. I'm supposed to meet all these people that's so much fun and three of me, but I wouldn't know how to play if my life depended on it. You know, it's like I remember that I was always asking for the opposite of who I was and then shocked that nobody would show up like I wanted to. You know, I'm the judging guy who wants the woman who never judges. You know, I see people, like people go, I have very high standards for who I want in my life. Yeah, but they want you. It's the way you express yourself. Is that something that's attractive to somebody else? You know, and it was like deep because I used to always ask for, when I would think about a relationship, I would always think in terms of what the person could do for me. Or how the person could please me, or how the job could please me, or how the situation, it was all about would it please me. But it was very seldom that I would ask for something thinking in terms of what I could give to the other person, what I would show up with. It was all about, hey, how was she going to do for me? How's she going to please me? Is she going to be understanding with me? He going to be understanding with me? It was all about me, which is okay, but I need to understand if you're going to be all about you, you have to enlarge your concept of who you are. So me being concerned about me has to be now me being concerned about me. 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 See? This is me. This is not just me. This is me. Does it matter if another person knows that? Not at all. Why? Because there's a part of that person that does know that. And so you learn how to talk to the part of them that knows, and you start to ignore the part of them that doesn't know. And that's why it looks like God is silent. It's because God ain't talking to us. God's talking to us. Our real self. Not the self that's crazy in the world that hates everything and doesn't know what's real. That's not the part of us that's us. That's the part of us, he says, that learned fear. And he says, that's not us, but we can transform that part of us and we can bring the rest of us into the party. So this part that seems like it's afraid can be transformed into the part that's loving. We don't have to lose anything. There is no sacrifice. So going into 2008, it just makes me more want to speed along my awakening by being more committed, more dedicated. Anybody else feel the same way? Yeah, that you want to get, okay, so that means you're saying you're willing to challenge yourself and you're willing to say stuff to yourself that you don't necessarily believe or like. If you set it up on a spiritual path that you have to like everything that you hear, then you cut off the speed of the project. You slow the project way down. If I need to tell you something, but I got to spend 3 hours trying to figure out the right way to say it to you, you could have got the benefit of that answer 3 hours earlier. You know what I'm saying? You're looking for your car keys, but I know you got a bad temper. I know where your car keys are. I'm trying to figure out the best way to tell you where the car keys are so that you won't trip. You know, so if that person had to be in the right mood for me to tell them, then it might take hours for me to tell them. But if I don't care how they react, I can give them the answer right then. They could have their car keys right then. But it's my caring about their reaction that's delaying the whole process. And it's you and I needing everybody else's approval that's slowing up the healing.
So are you saying just flat out say where the car keys are?
I would love if you would do that if my car keys were missing. I would love if you would save me 3 hours of looking all over the house. Because if it's the truth, they're going to find it out sooner or later anyway. That's the thing about the truth. If it's the truth, they're going to find it out later anyway. So they're going to always end up saying you were right. It's just, you know, how long it takes for them to say it and whether or not you care if they have to say it. But they're going to say it sooner or later. They're going to say it. I have people who will call me up 20 years later from when I first started teaching the course and say that they realized that something that they heard in the course was absolutely right. But they said it 20 years ago. So it could have been right for them 20 years previously. You in the contest between us and God and divine intelligence, it's going to win. Yeah, it's going to win. No, it's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It's going to win. The truth is going to win. There's nothing else but the truth, so it can't lose. The only thing that loses is something that's not real in the first place. The only thing you can lose is something that's not real in the first place. You can't lose anything that's real. So either you've never lost it, or it wasn't real. So if you said a relationship I had, I know it was real, but it's gone now. Hold it. If it was real, then even though the form may have changed, you still got that relationship. If it's real, it didn't end. But if it was real, but now you feel like it's over altogether and there's no connection whatsoever, well, it never was. There never was a connection. That's why it ended. And that's why the universe is so cool, because the universe won't let things last that don't benefit you, even if you want them to. I love that. I've had relationships I'm so glad it looked like circumstances beyond my control ended it no matter how hard I tried to keep it. Thank you, whatever that was, that overruled my stupidity out of my lack of love for myself and would make me stay in an abusive relationship. Thank you, God, that it was so horrible that it got to the point that even I had to go, you know what, I deserve better than this. I got to make a change. Thank you, universe. Because with my stupidity, I would have stayed in there and sacrificed forever. And something wouldn't even, it's almost like you just pulled my fingers off of it. No, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? If my little baby wants to drink some poison, I don't give a damn how much it cry. I'm not giving it the poison. So us being helped has nothing to do with whether or not we decide. I like that. I love knowing where I don't have control. And I don't have control over the love God has for me. It's greater than anything I could come up with for myself. And it's not dependent on me believing that I deserve it. Thank you, Lord, for not making your help dependent on whether or not I like myself. That's what I'm saying. What a stupid plan. You know what I'm saying? I gotta perfect myself before I can be loved. What a stupid plan. So I'm going to spend all my whole life trying to get myself together so somebody can love me. What a stupid plan. I want to meet people who love me. Period. I want to meet women who like great beards. Period. Who you could drive a 1993 Nissan Sentra and they say, I love you. Period. I don't want to have to get a Lexus before I can have a date. That's stupid. I want to receive the love of God right where I am right now. And anything that blocks me from having that, that's what this is about, letting go of. Don't you want it now? Aren't you tired of future? You know? Yeah, and then the older I get, sometimes it don't look like there's a whole lot of future coming. So I really don't want to waste a whole lot of time. I don't have time for the stuff that most people have time for. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, you just don't have time for it no more. I just wonder when my grandfather and stuff would say that. I realize now completely why he sat on the porch all day. And I was like, oh, how could you just sit on, I mean, when he retired, it's like, how can you do that? It's like, he would have what he wanted. He was totally peaceful. My peace might look different. It might not look like sitting on the porch, but he achieved his goal, which was he was having peace in his experience right there. There wasn't anything for him to get. He was just about appreciating what he already had. And that's where I am, too. Like, I don't care if who's about getting anymore. Who needs to get anything? You need to allow. You need to let it happen. You know, don't you think so? It'll be cool. Wouldn't it be better to just allow your prosperity and allow the right relationships and allow your health and allow your healing? Oh, man. Sometimes it gets lonely because when you're going between that insane way you used to be and the new way you're trying to be, you tempted to go back and try to do what you did once before because you don't see the results completely yet of your new direction, and you're in that weird, disoriented transition, temptation period. I'm going through that right now. Mm-hmm. And it takes everything in me, like, don't you try to go back and think of what the way you had happiness and peace before, mm-hmm. and try to recreate that again and with a whole new color. Don't you do it, because I see myself, I remember when I used to, it's like, don't you dare, you said you wanted something new, you wanted something different, then you're going to have to stay where you are, focused on the truth, so that it can come in. Don't you put your ego back in charge again, and let it come up with its fantasy about what it is you think you need to do for you to have happiness. You said you're about listening to guidance. Well, don't you make up nothing then. If you're about listening to guidance, what did your guidance say do? Mm-hmm. What is your guidance telling you to do? Not what are you making up to do. What did your guidance tell you to do? Don't you know how your plans turn out? Everybody didn't know how your plans turn out. But then we come up with a new one. The course calls it the latest way we've decided to deceive ourselves again. I love that definition of our plan. Oh, it's just the latest way you've decided to deceive yourself again and try to manipulate everything and everybody around you to suit something that you think you want, and then accuse them of not being loving when they want to adhere to the plan that you've made for their life. Damn, that sounds pretty much like me. I decided I should be the most famous course teacher in the world, and you need to help make me that. That's what we do. We come up with a plan, and then we assign everybody roles, then ask them. And then if they don't act out the role, you know what I would say? You don't support me. That would be my favorite line. You didn't ask me if I wanted to do it, Earl, but you just should be supporting me. Well, I will support you. But I support you the way that I can support you. That's the best way for me to support you that maintains my joy and yours. So that's for the same person to say back to you. Oh, sure, I'm glad to support you, but I support you the way that I can support you that serves my joy and yours. If it's all about yours without mine, I'm not going to support you. And he's like, what? If it's not about my joy too, I'm not going to support you. Because I got sense. I'm sane. Only an insane person would support somebody that's not supporting them. Who doesn't care about what you want, but you're supposed to give me all your energy. And I don't care about what you want? And you're feeling guilty because you don't want to do it? Course of Miracles get rid of all your guilt about stuff like that. Like all that. People have so much guilt about stuff like that. They feel selfish because somebody wanted them to do something and they didn't really want to do it, and then the other person is mad at them. Well, they'd have to be selfish to be mad at you. So don't feel guilty. They'd have to be selfish to be mad at you for not doing what they want you to do, even if you don't want to do it. That's the most selfish thing in the world, is to want somebody to sacrifice for you. Whoa. That's deep, isn't it? That's the most selfish thing in the world, is to want somebody to sacrifice for you. Because that means you're putting your happiness before them having what they want. So why would you feel guilty about denying a person that's that selfish? But I used to. I'd be like, oh my God, my kids feel like I'm blah, 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 because I didn't try to come up with something that I don't really have or interested in doing, but I better. It's like, if you really love me, you want me to do what I could do and what I'm able to do and what I want to do. So I don't have a hard time turning down people that don't love me. What used to screw me up was I would call the people who didn't love me the people who loved me. And then I'd feel guilty because I didn't do what they wanted me to do, because I didn't know how to recognize what love was. So I didn't even realize love never would want me to sacrifice. And that's how they could manipulate me, because I didn't know what love was. Now.
And we forget about loving ourselves.
Well, that's the only reason. Absolutely. Because that's how you allow yourself to be manipulated. Because if you really love yourself, you know that you can't give what you don't have. So you wouldn't ever give your piece away first. Because you can't give anybody the love that you don't have. So the course taught me that. I was like, man, now I see why I used to go through so much fear and unhappiness from time to time. I was breaking all the rules of happiness.
yourself.
I was planning for the latest, and the first of the year, people do it a lot, and they call it their New Year's vows. You know, they'll come up with something else that they're not going to do, that they'll make themselves feel bad about because they didn't do it and increase their own guilt, which is what the ego wants to do. It would be much better to only set goals that you really want. How do you know you really want them? Because you're inspired and motivated to do it. If you're not inspired and motivated to do it, then it's not a real goal. So you're just setting yourself up. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't take effort to do what you want to do. It takes effort to do what you don't want to do. So the person that's struggling is the person that's doing what they don't want to do all day. The person that has an easy life is the person that's doing what they want to do all day. And some people are in one degree or the other, you know, not quite there on either side, but kind of like somewhere in between trying to go to the other side. And it takes courage because guilt is so built into our system that we're very fragile. And so when you're trying to make that change, you have to make sure that you put yourself around the people who are nurturing the way that you want to be. And you have to start to cut down your contact with people who are trying to keep you in the old way as much as you can. There are going to be situations where you have to be around them, but wherever you got a situation of choice, and you had a choice between calling the person that's going to judge you and the person that's going to inspire you, please put the person that's going to inspire you on the speed dial. Because you know when you pick up the phone what it is you want to believe about yourself by the person you're calling. You know exactly who to talk to when you want to feel afraid and judged, and you know exactly who to talk to when you don't. You, when you're getting ready to make a mistake, you know exactly the friend that will point out the mistake because you know you're making one too, so you don't call them. And you know exactly the friend to call that's going to tell you to go ahead with the stupid decision you made. We know. We know. We already know. And that, he says that comes from the decision that we make about what we want to experience. And then once we decide what we want to experience, then we choose the circumstances that create it. So if I want to feel bad about myself, I got to feel bad about myself first, then call my ex-wife. You understand what I'm saying? Well, forgiving her doesn't have anything to do with us going out to lunch. Forgiving her just has to do with me wanting her peace, whether she's with me or not. It has nothing to do with me and her ever going out to dinner again. That's another setup. I haven't forgiven with you unless me and you can go out to dinner. That's why many people don't tell me they realize they didn't want to forgive because they thought it meant they'd have to hang out with the person. And they literally just keep the grievance going because we all have done it. Haven't you done that? Not wanting to do something and then came up with a reason not to? You know, if I don't like you, if I don't want to be with you, I come up with a reason or justification for being with you. That's what we all do. So we have to make the decision that we want to know we're sinless, that we want to know we're guiltless, that we don't want to be threatened, that we do want real communication, and that we want to start teaching what we want to learn. Is anybody out of agreement with those desires?
Easier said than done.
At first. After a while, it becomes easier done than said. Yeah. I do much more through, even though y'all see me in a class, I really accomplish most of my life through nonverbal stuff.
I find that I can read this and I get to aha and then I go out and the switch goes back the other way.
And that's so normal and just understand that information is not lost and that it will show up when you need it. Because I used to wonder, where was it going? Because I could read like two or three chapters and I'd be like immersed in the course. And then as soon as I would close the book, I would be hard-pressed to be able to say three sentences I just read. And I thought that was so... I said, now I'm a fairly intelligent person. Why am I not able to remember anything? Because you listen to it with this hand. And then you go out in the world with this one. And this one never read it.
That's true.
Yeah. The crazy self never would sit down and go, let me study some spiritual truth. You know, it'd be busy trying to be the victim and blame it, right? So, but then what happens is we read, right, the spiritual stuff, and then we go out into the world, and before we know it, we match the world again with our own world itself. And the world itself never did study the book. So it'll seem like, where did it go? Where did it go? Well, the truth is, this self did get it. And every time you feed this self, you look at it like a scale. You know what I'm saying? And this is your ego now. But you, but every time you put another rock, every time you put some more truth in yourself, you're getting ready to tip the scale. And one day, it'll be this part of you that's the predominant self that walks out into its everyday world. And it's the crazy one that hardly ever shows up. And you'll be going, oh, I had 3 great weeks and then this morning sucked. See, that was 3 weeks of the spirit being in charge, 1 morning of the ego, where it used to be the other way, where it was all day, all week long, the ego, the drama of the world was encompassing me, and then I had a week's vacation. All week long, I went through a whole lot of crap, and I had a nice dinner Saturday night. See, that's, you know, it used to be this is the predominant, then every now and then the cool stuff would happen, and then when you do the course long enough, it flips. Where most of the time your life is nothing but peaceful, and then every now and then unexpectedly you throw something up that throws you for a loop like it used to, and it'll seem strange. Like, what, I had a bad day? Where it used to be, life is just the way it is, and this is you lucky if you have a good time. And it's going to flip on you, but it's flipping because of your investment. It's like you're feeding this part of you, so soon it's going to be the greater part, and when it's the greater part, flip. And that's the purpose of when I try to do these advanced mind trainings and stuff, and all this extra stuff I try to do is like, so we can speed up the tipping of the scale. And I try to see who else in the class also wants to speed up the tipping of the scale enough to invest some extra time into doing that. That's why I don't care if it's 3 people or 300 people, because I know that the more that I learn this, the longer those stretches of peace last. And when that crap does come up, they used to come up all the time, I got a million tools now for how to deal with them. I 10 times rather live through the mind I have right now than the one that thought it knew, that didn't know nothing, that was always suffering and mad all the time, but thought it was right. Mm-hmm. What was so funny about it? That Earl thought he was so right. How could he be right when he was mad most of the time? Mm-hmm. Or afraid most of the time? Or judging most of the time? But I thought it was me. I thought that Earl was me.
I also seem to sabotage it when someone says, "Boy, you seem different. You seem, what's happened?" And I cannot put into words. I start babbling, and they're looking at me like, "You really don't know what you believe." You know, I can't put into words what's happened.
And that's what you say. I'm going through a big transformation right now, and it's really wonderful. But I cannot put it into words. And you won't sound like babbling, you'll sound like a totally intelligent person. Because everybody can get, I'm going through something right now that's beyond words. But that's what sometimes I used to forget that too. That the simple truth worked faster than all the figuring out that I was. I used to try to figure out everything to say other than just the truth in that moment. And I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's like you try to come up with everything other than just an honest expression of how you're feeling in that moment. And I found out that would be the way to do it, to say, right now I'm going through a big transformation and it's beyond anything that I can explain to you right now.
And that's good, because in the business world, you can't say, "I love you."
I love you. I appreciate you.
You really can't.
But believe it or not, there's a business world that's based on love.
We're trying.
Yeah. Well, so that's what I'm saying. So, what you have to eventually do is you have to enfold the world into your new thought system. If you continue to see there's the truth thought system over here, and then there's the world where we can't say love over here, then you're creating two parallel realities for yourself at the same time. And then that's what causes us to experience the world and all of its pains, and sometimes the good stuff with all of its peace. And we don't realize we're perpetuating both of them because we're not integrating our mind into one thought, which is that everything is rooted in love in my life. My business is rooted in love. My finances are rooted in love. My car. In other words, you have to stop separating the world from God in that sense. You know, I got to let the laws of God even operate here, but they operate here indirectly. They operate, but they're not always obvious to us how they operate, obviously. But that's what's keeping all of us sitting here right now. But we don't know how they all operate. You know, the rules that created that light, it was there back in the caveman days. But somebody had to discover that law, and when they discovered that law, we had light. So the Course is saying, guess what? There's a lot more light y'all haven't discovered. There's a lot more laws that you haven't learned how to use, just like the cavemen didn't know how to use that. And they'll improve your life just like we improved over the cavemen. So people who practice the truth, their lives are easier than people who don't know the truth. It really is. It's not no sort of wish it was, hope it is. It is easier. They have an easier life. Everything they need comes to them. And people in struggle consciousness don't see it. So they think it doesn't exist because you can't see it until you, what? Accept the truth about who you are. Stop attacking people. Realizing that what you're looking at is coming from your own mind. Realizing that the world taught you something that wasn't true. And since you learned something that wasn't true, which is that you're sinful, guilty, or bad, then you're perceiving a reality that reflects that to you. But that's not your only choice. You got another hand. This ain't the only hand. So when people get into the truth, they go through conflict. You know why? Because when you were told in your ego and thought you were just a separate person in the world, that was your only thought system. And since that was your only thought system, you weren't in conflict. Now you're introduced another way, but you're not able to live it completely yet. So now you have two thought systems that you're focusing on at the same time, which is causing conflict, and that's natural. But when you totally thought you were the old way, there wasn't any conflict. That's why it seems like the people who are not on the path sometimes look like they have more peace than we do who are trying to do it. They don't have another way they're looking at it. You know, they're here, they're a little small, they're going to be here for a little while. There's stuff out there you got to be aware of. You need to protect yourself and take care of yourself. They're sure of that. And you try to get a few relationships and hope they'll treat you right to the day you die. You know, they're sure of that. I'm a body, I die. They're sure of that. There's no conflict. You used to think that, I used to think that. Boom, we hear, oh no, you're innocent, you're lovely, you're a powerful child of God, you're a spiritual being, you create through your reality, you should allow your good to happen. Oh my God. Now I got this old way that I still learn, and I still got the new way, and so now I'm in conflict. So the conflict and confusion that we go through in the transition is natural and good. It indicates that you've started to move in a new direction, and it won't take as long to get to the new world because the new world is the only one that exists. It's what's true. So what's cool about that is that it won't take you as long to get to this new place you want to go as it took to put you in the old one you were in. Okay, that's what the Course is saying. And he said you could really have it today, but your ability to have it today would depend on two things. How much you're willing to resign as your own teacher and listen to your higher self. Because I used to think the one that was sitting in the chair was the one that was in charge. And that's true. The one that was sitting in the chair was the one that was in charge as long as things weren't working. Let me give you a test. How many of you all know beyond a shadow of a doubt in physical form and can tell me exactly what you'll be doing 2 hours from now? See, we obviously shouldn't be in charge. Because we don't know. And that's all a person needs to realize to start to move toward the spiritual path and get guidance. To just to go, you know what? I'm not being unrealistic when I say this. This one that sits in the chair, I'll tell you what he can do. No problem. He is excellent at reacting. Anybody else?
I'm a
problem. Yeah. Aren't we great at having something happen, having a reaction to it? Having something else happen, have a reaction to it. Having something else happen, have a reaction. So we're obviously the one that is the reactionary self. That obviously doesn't know really what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's not airy-fairy. Mm-hmm. That's completely the truth. So what the Course is saying is, let me show you new ways to perceive. Let me show you new ways to react. Let me show you new ways to respond. And these new ways of responding will connect you with the part of you that does know so that you can be safe and you can enjoy this playground you're on, this playground of infinite creativity. It's like going on a vacation and then going down to the employment office and getting a job. That's what happened to us. Came there to have a good time. You can picture that going to your vacation to Hawaii, and as soon as you get there, you go down to the temp services. That's what we did. we got here, and instead of this being like this incredible playground of creativity and expression and growth and spontaneity and learning, now it's all about survival. And we actually think it's normal. And somebody who would say it isn't normal are seen as the crazy one. And then we're worried about these people who might think we're crazy, right? Our relatives and all that. But when you think about it, I bet you don't spend that much time with them. Certainly not enough time for them to get all of this sweat that you give yourself. Think about it. Those people that you're most afraid of thinking that you're insane, ask yourself, how much actual time do you spend with them? You find you spend the vast majority of your time with people who you don't feel crazy to be with. So that's our ego tricking us again. You've already achieved your goal much more than you can imagine. You already are around more people who are peaceful with you than people who are attacking you. That's a fact. You already are more loving than you think you are, or you wouldn't be having the kind of life you have. You're cooler than you know. Yes, I am. I am cooler than I know. I can say that with total confidence. That's right. That's right. I always tell people, if you see me, then I'm learning the same thing you are. I might be learning at another level or in a different way, but I'm still letting go of my fear just like you're letting go of yours. There's nobody on the course. There's nobody on this. How you put it, they're not different levels. There's just one level, the learning level. And we're all on it, learning in different ways, on the learning level. Yeah. And in the course introduced the idea that I love so much, it told me, it said, you know what, Earl? This is your final lesson. You will not always be learning. I didn't like that idea of learning always. People used to say, I was saying, well, you know, we're going to be learning forever. And it's like, that'll turn me off. But they would say it like that was like the biggest thrill. We're going to be learning for lifetimes and lifetimes. You'll never stop learning. And I was like, I don't want to be in school all the time. You know, and then of course, you're right. Learning is a skill you made up to help you forget who you are. But we're going to take your learning skill and we're going to use it to help you remember who you are. So we're going to take the skill you made up that as a child of God you didn't need in the first place, because if you're a child of God, what is it there for you to learn? There's just for you to create. So learning in itself is an ego function. But we'll turn around and we'll take that learning function that you worship, that you made up, that you've been using to make you forget who you are. We're going to take that learning function and we're going to take that learning function and we're going to use it to teach you your sinless, your guiltless, your love, your innocence, your abundance. You deserve to be blessed. You can learn that too, but you didn't have to learn. So you won't be learning forever. And I went... Anybody else relate to what I'm saying? Am I the only one? Am I the only one that would like to create as opposed to always have something new that you've got to learn?
Will my ego let me do it? Because there have been so many blessings and so many miracles. And right now it feels like my ego is in awe. And it's going, and it feels like it's able to be, I don't know what the word is, like coerced into going, see, it works.
Mm-hmm.
When you do nothing, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like malleable.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that a lie?
You're saying, I don't quite understand, you're saying that it's working?
Well, I'm wondering if the ego could actually be won over to see that the do nothing actually works. Because when I do nothing, and I just let it happen, it all flows. So the ego seeing that, oh my God, it worked. It happened.
Well, that's why. Well, you can always tell when that's happening, because that's when your ego feels the most threatened. the ego, the part of you that believes is separate, feels most threatened when you're starting to actually receive the benefits.
But that's what I'm saying. It doesn't seem like it feels threatened. It's almost like it's
Well, that's because you haven't hit your sacred cow yet. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's been happening is what you already agree with pretty much anyway.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You haven't. I always tell people that the course is guaranteed to offend everyone. Because if there wasn't some hidden part of you that needed to be transmuted, you wouldn't be in the world anyway. So to believe that there's some part of you that's not invested in the world would be completely delusional. You know what I'm saying? Like for me to go and say, well, I'm spiritual, really spiritual right now. So I'm not concerned with the material things of the world anymore. I'm really beyond that. You know, that can't hook me anymore. That may be true, but guess what? I just found out I have psychic powers and I can read minds. Will I give in the temptation to read your mind so that I could try to take advantage of you and get something that I want? You see what I'm saying? It's like you have other levels of temptation that begin to come in as you handle these other ones until you realize that no matter what gifts happen, what talents happen, what cool stuff happen, you know still your purpose is to wake up to who you really are. And you don't let anything, no matter how good it is or no matter how bad it is, get you off the path of awakening. And that's how you go. That's how you transcend all temptation. Because you're going to have some things that are going to be so cool that happen that you'll be tempted to let go of your purpose so you can get lost in just playing with the thing that you just manifested. It's not saying you can't play with it, but what happens, you know, it's one thing to be on the playground for 3 hours. It's another thing to be on the playground 10 years later when you really was meaning to go home. You see what I mean? So our challenge is going to be not being delayed by the blessings that hit by getting caught up in it, rather than just totally enjoying it and continuing to move toward, I want to wake up to who I really am. I really want to wake up to love.
Yeah.
So right now, your ego is probably feeling okay about whatever it is that's happening to you because it feels like the ego is pretty much benefiting from that too. So it's not about controlling the ego. As a matter of fact, the easiest way to keep your ego from being a problem is to go ahead and give it what it wants. You know, if your ego thinks it's about a car, or your ego thinks it's about a house, or your ego thinks it's about having a special relationship, just give it to it. If your ego thinks it's about a flat screen TV, then you can afford it, buy one. You know what I'm saying? It's like, don't make the ego an issue, because the only thing it's going to ever want is some form of specialness or some material thing, and that doesn't mean anything. If it wants to take a vacation to France, you can be in France reading your course book, and your ego is like gawking at all the people on the beach while you're hearing what God is saying. Don't set your ego up as this adversary that you got to spend all your time trying to fight, and the whole thing will be a lot easier. Just be honest with yourself about what you think you need.
But what I'm saying is, it seems like the ego part is willing to be surrendered. I'm not talking about stuff.
Yes, I'm just saying, that's why, but that goes loop back to what I said at the beginning. It just means you haven't hit your sacred cow yet.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that you're going to, some level of consciousness you're going to go to that your ego is going to go, this is a bit much here. You see what I'm saying?
It hasn't
hit the thing that's its thing yet. Like, I find that in the course classes, in all these years, I'll tell you what the wall is for 90% of the people that I've seen since I've been teaching this class. That they bail out of here faster than anything you could possibly imagine. What the course teaches about special love relationships. That's what because I don't care how high and spiritual people think they are, they have the world's attitude about love. And when it comes to special relationships, I don't care how many people I see to read and meditate and they go off to India and all that, when they still come back, they want to do love exactly the way they did it when they were growing up, which is it's some form of limitation, it's some form of exclusion, and all the attention is on you to the exclusion of anybody else. You know what I'm saying? And so the Course says, okay, that's no problem. We can give you that too. And even that can be a way for you to wake up. So it's still not a sacrifice. Even if you think you need that, that's cool. You know, but ultimately you're going to have to learn that love is more than the body, and love is inclusive, and love is the same for everybody, and love doesn't single anybody out. One day you're going to have to cross that bridge. Now, you can play the game now where it's all about you and all about one other person, and you don't have to love anybody else, and we don't have to really pay attention to other people, and it's just about the ones that we know and love, and that's cool. But where I find the wall shows up is when it's around issues around freedom and not scripting. That's usually where I find the wall shows up. It's about that idea of being love, being freedom, and that idea of you got scripts for people around you, and you got to get those scripts up in order for you to truly be free, and let those people who would naturally do that on their own show up in your life, rather than trying to manipulate anybody in your life to be in the way you want them to be. You do the opposite, and you just be yourself, and you watch the people be attracted to you that are naturally the way you like people to be. And then nobody's manipulating anybody, but everybody's satisfied. That's the other system.
That'll work for business too.
It will work for anything. That's how 22 years later I'm still able to pay my rent and eat. You know what I'm saying? It's because I decided to do what I really love, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, trusting that I don't care how outrageous I am or who I am, there'll be somebody that will see my value just the way I am. But most people don't have the guts to do it, or the faith to do it, or the surrender to do it. And so they just keep doing what they don't want to do all their life, which they should, because if it would make them more afraid to not have that job than to have that job, then they need to stay on that job, because the name of the game is don't increase your fear. So if you feel more secure on a 9-to-5 job at Target, then that's the highest place you could possibly be and the most loving thing you could do for yourself. If you quit because you've been reading 2 pages of the course, and now you feel like now you're out here and the Spirit's going to take care of you, but you haven't developed any kind of relationship with Spirit whatsoever, you're going to tank, and then it's going to make you feel like the truth isn't true and it doesn't work and all this is a bunch of crock, which is what the ego wants you to believe anyway. See, that's what the ego wants us to believe, that if you study this stuff, you're going to be hurt. If you study this stuff, it's not going to benefit you. So I'm going to stop here. It's 1:00. I'm going to do the love offering. Thank you for your generosity with Unity Temple and with me. I'm a full-time teacher of the course, and so I appreciate your showing your appreciation in the form of money, too. Tomorrow night is the next class. I'm going to do another New Beginning AMT the last Saturday of this month, and it's going to all be about advanced teachings around beginning brand new, going into that new reality that we're talking about and living from that new reality once and for all. So it's really about a massive shift of consciousness. If you want to do that seminar, it's $50. It'll be from 10 to 3. And it's going to be a limited enrollment, but to ensure a place in it, you know, it would be great if you paid in advance and go ahead and get that locked up. So I just want to put that out to you. And I'd love to see you, because an hour is not enough time to get across what I want to get across and what Spirit wants to get across. Yes, make it out. Yes, just make it out. The love offering, you can make it out to Unity Temple if you're going to do a check. It's going to be my classes this year more than anything. It's their innocence, their guiltlessness, their sinlessness, and their right to be happy, and their right to live themselves, their lives, and to be their authentic selves. It's going to be a class that's about making people so aware that they will not allow themselves to be manipulated by people who are fear-based, and which is a reflection of a part of themselves that's fear-based, and so they can let go of that within themselves and then stop the manipulation on the outer. So it's another level of intensity that's going to be revealed so that we can save time. I want to save time. I want to save time. I want it now. I want it now. You know. And when your ego is afraid and it does, like you said, it sees its thing, okay, what you do is you dive into the truth more heavily. Whenever your ego is threatened, whenever you're upset, when things are going crappy, when you're most tempted to go back to do it the old way, your first response should be, let me dive into the truth more than ever. What your ego is going to do is say, let me take over now, and let me go back and do what I used to do to try to handle this situation. That's what the ego always does. Yeah. Let me go back now. Okay, now I got to get real. Let me go back out here and do it just like the world said. You know, it's like, okay, that means I need to focus on the truth more than I ever have. That when I feel like committing suicide, that's when I should come to the class. When I don't want to see nobody and need to feel like I need to be as separate from everybody as I can possibly get, that's when I need to show up. I need to do just the opposite of what my ego is telling me. And then feel innocent even if I do give in to it. I also realize that that's just my call for love. I'm still cool, and I'll try to do it different the next time. So even if I do the old thing I used to do, it's like, oh, girl, you know what? You did what you used to do. Right. Oh, the only afterward message is, don't do that again. Yeah, that's all you do. But yeah, don't put the bad good stuff on it. The bad good stuff traps you forever. You know, people do not do things because it's bad. About all know that by now, and they don't do things because it makes them feel guilty. People stop doing things when they see it doesn't work. So when you put all that moral stuff on people, that's why the world's like, everybody got their morality. It's so funny. Morality to me is the funniest concept of all. Because it's just nothing but individual beliefs and values that people make up for themselves that they try to make everybody else live by. It's nothing real about it at all. One society, you can have 100 wives and you are really in integrity, and another society, you go to jail. You see what I mean? It's just made up. But what's not made up is you're going to experience what you're demonstrating and what you're teaching yourself. If you want to have peace in your experience, you have to stop attacking at some point and realize you are innocent and that you do deserve love. See, that's universal. The truth is universal. Morality is just something people make up. If I love you, I'm going to treat you right. You don't have to pass a law to get me not to rob you all. Because I know who you are, I wouldn't rob you all. Laws are for people who are afraid and unloving. They're not for people who love. People who love won't hurt each other, won't steal from each other, won't manipulate each other. The more laws you have, the more fearful society you live in. That's how you know that you're in a lot of fear, that you got all these rules. I'm with people in relationships and they got like 900 rules for everything. I'm like, well, my God, where's the love? If I love you and I really want to see you, I can't wait to get over there at 6:30. I might get there at 6:15. You don't have to worry about me being late. I can't wait to get to you. Love, it'll take care of it. Love. Oh, I'm not going to let you starve. Why? Because I love you. You're going to eat. If I eat, you eat. Why? Because I love you. I don't need to get a law to make me feed you. No. I love the planet. Oh, okay, I love the planet. Oh, then I'm not going to pollute it. Why? Because I love the planet. But I need environmental laws for people who hate themselves, so therefore they're trying to destroy the environment so that they'll kill themselves because they don't think they're worth nothing. So what we're trying to do actually is create mass suicide because of a lack of love. So when you have a lack of love and you tell people who don't love themselves that they're destroying their environment, they don't pay any attention because that's what they want to do anyway, is to die. That's deep. Why else wouldn't I do something about it? I want to die. So what happens when I love myself? I start loving myself, I started eating better. I start loving myself, I started to be more concerned about the people around me in terms of their benefit. When you start to love yourself, again, the whole thing shifts. You find yourself just walking because you love yourself. Or you find yourself not doing something that you know would be detrimental because you love yourself. You find yourself saying, you know, I got to choose out this relationship right here because it's really, really abusive and it's critical and it's judgmental and we don't benefit each other. And you know what? Frankly, I deserve better than you. And what I'm giving myself to you. You're innocent, but I just deserve more than this. And I hope you find someone that appreciates what you have to offer. Because I love myself. I don't love myself. You might leave me, so I'm going to see what I can possibly do to please you, even though you're always criticizing me. Because, you know, I'm lucky to have you. So I don't care how much you abuse me. I deserve it anyway. Because I'm not really that worthwhile to begin with. And I'm just grateful that you even have a relationship with me. So even when you beat me, I still stay. You see what I mean? It's like if you don't love yourself, you can't get out of situations that are unhappy for you, because the person's giving you what you think you deserve. And that explains those situations where people go, "I've been trying to get out of this, but I just can't get out of it." No, you haven't. you're getting what you think you deserve. And that's what they're trying to show you. That's how they're your savior. They're not there to hurt you. They're trying to show you what you think about yourself so that you can make a new choice. They're not there to punish you. They're just there to wake you up. All right? Okay. So tomorrow night is